Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Jessica Hill joins us. She's the political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful. And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always delighted to welcome back to the program Jessica Hill. She is the political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Boy, it's gotten a little quiet here the last week or so, huh?
I know, I'm not used to it. I don't know what to do.
My first question is this. The biggest thing I've gotten complaints about is, and I got a complaint from England of all places yesterday, was how long it takes for us to get the results of the election. What are you hearing about any potential through the legislature to get things sped up, perhaps for the next election cycle?
Yeah, I think we're seeing some agreement. I know Secretary of State Aguilar had mentioned also feeling frustrated by like the laws that really, you know, require it to take a long time. I know Governor Lombardo has also expressed that too. So I think like you'd see some bipartisan efforts around it, whether that's just, you know, making sure like just changing the law to make it where mail ballots can't be accepted, you know, after a certain time on election day, maybe like just one day after, you know, just shortening that time frame. We'll see if that happens in the session. That's something that is discussed.
Yeah, it's just something that is super frustrating. Now, I don't know if you can talk about this or not, because this show is going to air a while after we tape this, but you just got to speak with Nevada's senior senator. Is there anything you can share from that conversation with our audience?
Yeah, I'm just working on a story for, I think it'll run this Sunday, about what the priorities are for both of the senators now that they're in the minority, something that both of them had started their careers off, you know, under the Trump administration. So they're kind of used to being in the minority in the Senate. But just talking with them about their priorities, how they're kind of adapting underneath the Trump administration, what their goals are. I'm also talking with all of the congressional delegation, talking with Congressman Amade, and a little bit actually about his goals now being in the majority. He was also in the majority in the last time too, but just, you know, under the Trump administration, what he's planning on doing, kind of thing.
It would seem because both senators put out press releases in the last 24 hours as we're taping this, promoting the lands bills for both Washoe County and Clark County. Congressman Amade had said on the program here a couple of weeks ago that it really needed to get done in this lame duck session if it was going to get done. Is that what you're hearing too?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing right now, too. It's still up in the air. We'll see what happens.
But I mean, it's such a big deal for Nevada because, you know, Sparks is out of land in northern Nevada. Clark County, the costs of housing, et cetera, are so high. And a lands bill will really help to alleviate that. They turned down the last one because it wasn't enough acreage. But are our senators optimistic that they can get this done in the lame duck?
It sounds like it, just from what I've heard from Senator Rosen and Senator Cortez Masto. It seems like that they're pretty confident this could happen. I know Governor Lombardo has also expressed, you know, wanting to open up some of these lands. So
it could happen. All right. There are still, despite the election, plenty of election deniers or concerned citizens about the veracity of the election process. But if that were true that there was a problem, how did Donald Trump win Nevada while Jackie Rosen also won? Can you have it both ways?
Right, that's a good point. Just from what I've been talking about with some political scientists, they say that it's not unexpected that both Donald Trump and Senator Rosen won. A lot of people are denying any sort of fraud in Sam Brown's race. Chuck Muth, for instance, has said, you know, Sam Brown was a bad candidate under his eyes. You know, Senator Rosen really did a different kind of job and painted herself as a bipartisan candidate. He basically denied any sort of claims that there is election fraud in Sam Brown's race and not, you know, Donald Trump's race. The political scientists that I've talked to said that this is pretty emblematic of how Nevada is. You know, we split ticket vote quite a bit. We look at not just the party of the candidate, but also the personality of the candidate. And also there's a kind of trend of ballot runoff where people vote at the top of the ticket for the president, but not so much down ballot. So this could kind of illustrate how Republicans did a really good job campaigning for Donald Trump and maybe did not do as good of a job compared to the Democrats for campaigning down ballot with Senator Rosen, for instance.
I was glad to see that there was such a significant win, especially in the presidential race, to where not only did Donald Trump win, but by a big enough margin in both the Electoral College and in the popular vote to stop this, you know, constant bickering over, you know, election denialism. Is that the feeling that you're getting from people, is that they're more comfortable with the election results this time around?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think they definitely are on the Republican side. They're more confident just because it happened, but they've still from the beginning were, you know, having issues with the certain methods that Nevada allows for voting. But their whole campaign strategy was like, we have to, even though we don't like these methods, we have to use them in order to get what we want in order to change those methods basically later with like changing of the laws. So I definitely think, yeah, we're not hearing many claims of election fraud except for some of those election deniers about Sam Brown's race. And I think just the general sentiment from some folks is that they don't like those laws that Nevada allows for.
Yeah, and you know, the irony is that Sam Brown is not complaining. He conceded
exactly,
the race.
Exactly, he conceded his race.
And I'm glad that he did. I mean, I thought that was a good thing. I think it's always a good thing when somebody concedes. Okay, so let me ask you this, because it was fascinating to listen, for example, to Joe Rogan in the closing weeks of the election cycle, to hear his three-hour interview with Donald Trump. How rare is it, if ever, that one gets to hear a three-hour conversation, not an interview, but a conversation between either a former or sitting president of the United States and a radio host. And then he also did J.D. Vance and then Elon Musk. I mean, people really got, over an 8 or 9 hour period, a real chance to hear these candidates. And I think that there's a general admission that Vice President Harris missed out by not being able to do that.
Yeah. I know that she was allowed to, like, she offered an hour of her time. And I guess it just didn't work out. Joe Rogan didn't want that. I'm not quite sure what the scenario was, but she did offer an hour. And I also understand that she is the vice president, maybe doesn't have 3 hours to offer. But I think the general kind of campaign strategy that we saw from both sides was to go on to these podcasts. I know that she went on to like Call Her Daddy and like all these different podcasts that they were kind of utilizing. I think that this is like a new wave of campaigning where they're going to where all these voters are, you know, maybe some people that weren't so politically active who do listen to Joe Rogan. That's where Donald Trump and J.D. Vance went to actually really get these voters. I think that's just kind of something that we'll be seeing differently in how people are campaigning. You know, maybe not so much like those traditional TV interviews, but rather going towards some of these more out of the box campaign strategies with those podcasts.
Yeah, I did listen to Vice President Harris on Charlemagne the God's podcast, and it was pretty interesting. A different take on the podcast, but still the same style, where you have more time to have that conversation. And I think that that's going to continue to grow as, you know, people go after younger voters. I know there's a lot of conversation about Joe Rogan and the bro voters, but I think that there's a lot of people listening to podcasts from all political sides. They may not, with the exception of Rogan and a few others, may not have that size audience, but the people who are going to listen to those kind of programs are going to be voters. Why would you listen if you weren't somebody who was interested in voting? So I'm waiting for the Jessica Hill podcast, because the RJ does a lot of podcasts. I'm waiting for your one to come up next.
That'd be fun.
Despite a tough race, Speaker Yeager was reelected, as was Majority Leader Canizero, but the governor still maintained his veto power. What's the thinking of issues coming to a legislature? And are you going to be coming to Carson City next year?
I am not sure what our coverage will look like. I know that I will be helping out for sure with the legislative coverage, so that'll be good. And I'll probably be going up to visit. As far as their legislative priorities, I'm actually working on a story about this right now. But from what I've heard so far, we're going to probably see, you know, similar bills that were unsuccessful in the last session from Governor Lombardo. I'm sure we'll be seeing some school choice bills from the Democrats. We'll probably be seeing some universal pre-K school lunch. I know that Senator Canizaro has talked about protecting IVF and putting those measures in place. And I'm sure we'll be seeing, you know, some of those housing bills that Governor Lombardo had vetoed. Speaker Yeager, when I talked to him a few months ago, had mentioned that he does have interest in like talking with the governor and the Republicans about what specific issues that they had in the past with those bills and will really work to get something passed. So I think we'll see those again, too.
Yeah. Do you get the sense that this is going to be a more productive session because knowing that the governor has retained his veto power, in fact, doubled it, as a recent guest said, from 1 to 2, that it makes sense for both sides to try and accomplish things when you look at the voting patterns in this last election, where we are definitely a purple state. So there's no guarantee that you're going to get one side or the other. No matter what happens at the session, I think it's going to be a bigger story than that. What's your take?
Yeah, one could hope that they're more productive this time around. Governor Lombardo now has a little bit more experience working with the legislature. You know, the last time it was his first time when he was governor. So this will be his second time working with the legislature. And I hope that, you know, there's more experience there and they'll, you know, they know each other more. And so hopefully they'll be able to get some more bills passed.
Well, and also, you know, I mean, the dirty little secret is that when you're a first time governor, you inherit the majority of your state of the state from the previous governor, because they're the ones doing all the work. And so this will really be his first time to control the whole thing. So it will be interesting. Let's take a break. We've got lots more to talk to you about. Jessica Hill from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. More with her after this timeout.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night,
professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jessica Hill. She is the political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. What was the biggest surprise for you from this election?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think one of the biggest surprises I saw was how the change of strategy for the Republicans really did work out. You know, from the beginning, they were saying, you know, we might not like it, but vote by mail, vote early, do whatever you can, vote any method that Nevada allows in order to vote. And now Republicans for the first time were leading the early vote and turnout. And I think that actually forebode, you know, the election results with what happened with Donald Trump winning. So that was a big surprise, just the voting turnout with the Republicans. Also, the nonpartisan turnout I thought was interesting. We really did see a large percentage turnout compared to previous years, especially compared to the 2022 midterms where nonpartisans came out to vote. I talked with the COIN president and founder, the Coalition of Independent Nevadans, who was talking about how this really does show that nonpartisans are going to have a bigger voice in future elections.
Yeah, it does. It's a really big warning signal that it's not just the Department of Motor Vehicles registration that is making people nonpartisans and independents, but they really are nonpartisans and independents, and everybody's got to play to both sides. It was interesting, too, and I know how disparate the Hispanic vote is in terms of population bases, but they were voting on the same issue as everybody else was, which is the economy. Did that strike you?
Yeah, definitely. I think this was definitely just an election where the economy was the number one issue. And the Biden administration, Biden and Harris, were seen as the factor of, you know, why it was so bad. They kind of took all the blame, whereas I think Senator Rosen in those down ballot races, like, you know, all the Democratic congressional candidates, they won their races. And I think that was partially just because voters saw in the minds that Biden and Harris were more at fault rather than those down ballot candidates.
Do you think that the culinary feels that they took a hit by the fact that Donald Trump won so strongly in Nevada? Because they're happy about, obviously, about race.
Yeah, I'm not sure how the culinary feels. When I was talking with Ted Papageorge, the Secretary Treasurer, a little bit about the election, he had mentioned, yes, it is disappointing that Harris lost, but that they saw a lot of success in Nevada overall in their down ballot races. They got Rosen and they got all three of the Democratic congressional candidates, and they saw success with the legislature as well. So they were talking a little bit about how this was their biggest like ground game effort, and they saw success in this down ballot, but they were disappointed in, you know, losing with Harris.
I thought it was very interesting in terms of money to see Greg Kidd run as an independent against Mark Amaday and spend significantly more money. I mean, around $10 to $11 million versus a lot less for Mark Amaday. But running as an independent, I spoke to a lot of Democrats who said, you know, because I mean, I'm sure you get hit up the same way I do. People are asking for our thoughts on these races. And they said, well, we're not seeing a Democrat in CD2. What do you think of Amaday? Do you like him? And the fact that he ran as an independent, I think, really hurt him. He may have done much better if he'd have run as a Democrat. Does that say something to you?
I don't know. I mean, I think Congressman Amaday is pretty safe in that seat. I don't think a Democrat would have much success either. And I was surprised, actually, that he did so well. I forget how Mercedes Krauss did in 2022, But I don't think that she did super well either. So I think anybody who runs in that seat against him has a challenge, and a very big uphill battle. I think I'd be surprised if anyone were to succeed in ousting him.
Yeah, it's just funny to see the large amount of money that was spent. There was a previous candidate who ran against Amedee as a Democrat, spent $3,000 and got essentially the same amount of votes.
I was surprised that Senator Rosen chimed into the race and endorsed Greg Kidd. I kind of thought that people would probably leave that race alone. It was just like so in the bag for him, but that was surprising to see.
Yes, to say the least. Let's take another break. We'll be with Jessica Hill from the Las Vegas Review Journal after this timeout.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the heat back on today. Call us today and we'll fix it today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why freeze for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your furnace fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
We wouldn't steer you wrong with the gold standard of steaks at Joel's Chop House. Indulge in dry-aged steaks, seafood, Wagyu tomahawks, located on the second floor, and great views of the strip.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jessica Hill. She is the political reporter and a darn good one for the Las Vegas Review Journal. In Senator Rosen's victory speech, one of the things that she talked about continuing to fight was grocery stores gouging prices. Do you get that sense that the public really feels that their grocery stores are gouging them? Because it seems to me that we accept that the prices of things have gone up dramatically for lots of reasons, but grocery stores are really your local place, the people you know. I don't get the sense that we're going in there angry that we're being taken advantage of.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't heard from people being like, yes, I think Smith's is taking advantage of me and raising these prices. So that's a good point. I think Senator Rosen was also talking about with that merger of Albertsons and Kroger, holding them accountable and making sure that, competition is still free and fair, that kind of thing. But it's hard because I know I'm not an economist, so I don't pretend to know all these different things that are happening. But I'm aware that obviously there's rising costs all across the world about, just from the fallout of COVID. So I think that they're just trying to find any single thing that they could have control over. And one of them is price gouging, if that is in fact happening.
Were you surprised with all the noise about the election? The positives for Trump, the negatives for Trump, the whole scenario with Biden and then going to Harris. The voter turnout wasn't higher, not only in Nevada, but across the nation.
That was a surprise. I thought that there would be a higher turnout for sure. When I was talking with some political scientists about this turnout, they said obviously 2020 had a pretty big turnout. They think that it was an anomaly compared to previous years, and this year it's hard to compare. In 2020 we were under the pandemic, and there were new laws with mail ballots, and I think that really played a role as far as turnout goes.
4 years from now, no Donald Trump, and it'll be an open season for Democrats. What are you hearing from people? Because, of course, we never stop talking about elections, even though this one is just over. We're already talking about the fact that we've only got 2 years for Donald Trump to accomplish what he needs to accomplish before, you know, the next cycle. But really, it'll be a wide open election 4 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying not to think too much about it. I'm trying to relax for a little bit from the last one. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. If I saw a poll that Vice President Harris could try to run again. I saw Pete Buttigieg could be one of the options. Cory Booker. I know it's still too soon to see what, you know, what will happen there.
Yes, to say the least. Well, I agree with you. It's time to take a vacation until the legislature begins, and then it'll start all over again. Okay. Jessica Hill, thank you so much for doing a terrific job and keeping us all apprised of what was going on during this election cycle. And we'll look forward to talking to you more coming up during Carson City.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was nice talking with you.
Always. Thank you. And we'll be right back.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Here on 7 at 7, we're bringing you the local headlines in just 7 minutes.
We've got you covered in the morning, evening, and for all breaking news, in between, and as it happens.
Life is busy, and we don't waste your time. Join us for local news now streaming on our YouTube page.
It's a good time to eat. It's a good time to play.
It's a good time to win.
Ooh, your good times are tamarack.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day on various platforms, including television, radio, our website, audio and video podcasts, YouTube. You want to find the show, you can find it pretty darn easily. And we cover politics, business, health, and education. Thanks for watching. We'll see you on the next broadcast.